Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hi, this is Wendy Francis. Welcome to Overcoming Your Emotional Eating. In today's episode, I'll reference Glennon Doyle's Untamed and talk about a variety of things that she speaks about in her book, Untamed, and how it can relate to our food image, body image, and eating relationship. Also, take a look at www.wendyfrancis.com for our new online course, Ending Your Emotional Eating, E3. Take a look at that for your ending and your overcoming, and take a listen today to get the wisdom that Glennon Doyle can bring to your life in Untamed. I am super excited for tonight. I'm always looking forward to my Monday night calls. It's a highlight of my week, and I'm blessed to be able to start my week off with it. And trust me, if I could do these calls all week long, I would. I have other things I have to do in my world, in my life, but love, love, love these calls. And tonight, I'm even more excited because I actually put this call on the docket almost 2 months ago now. And it was something that had come to me. I guess it must have been about 3 months ago. I had a client of mine who's been a longstanding client, longstanding, meaning she knew me pre-children and even a number of years before then. We've been working together a long time. She definitively is one of the biggest overcomers I have ever known. She's amazing. As we were talking one day in a session, she said to me, you know, have you read the new book? I'm sure you have. And I said, what book? Because, you know, I try to make time to read. And so she said the book by Glennon Doyle, you know who she is. And I said, no, I actually kind of don't. And so she said the book called Untamed, it's amazing. And I was like, Now, granted, this is the first time I've kind of done a full call on a book. So you can imagine how insightful and powerful this book was. I'm going to bring the juxtaposition and a lot of the content of this book to this call, but I'm going to offset it with some of my own thoughts and feelings and what we know about some of these things that are brought up in this book. But this book, Untamed by Glennon Doyle, was probably one of the most profound books that I've read since the mid-90s. And I have read a lot of books. You all can't see my office, but in my office, I have hordes of books and hordes of certifications, papers, and things that I've read or written in order to obtain and continue to maintain my focus and courage and dignity and respect and love in giving to you all and to all of my clients and people in my life. And so when I came across this book, and as I read it, literally every page I have highlighted. I can't tell you the last time I did that with a book. Glennon Doyle is an amazing author, writer, and I believe she lives in Naples, Florida. I've done a little stalking on her bio. I think it's out there in the open, though. I'm not like stalking hardcore, so don't worry about me. But she's an amazing woman, advocate, and writer. And in her book, Untamed, which was actually her third book, I've gone back and read her first two books. I read so many amazing quotes. And actually, if you Google her, you will find 86 quotes by Glennon Doyle that are roving out there on the internet. So you can tell how profound her words are. And Glennon Doyle is a recovering bulimic, recovering individual from bulimia. And so a lot of her heartfelt message centers around her recovery from bulimia, her recovery from alcoholism, and is profoundly insightful, I believe, for women and body image and just being true to ourselves, which is something that I believe at my truest core enables us to really overcome anything that we need to, whether it be food, alcohol, drugs, overwork, too little sleep, obstacles in our life, that in order to be really truly grounded as a woman, we all, and men, we all need strength. And in that, we all need to be untamed. When I opened this book up, and you'll hear my book a little bit in the background, because I did want to bring a little bit of this to you all. But when I opened this book up, you know, it starts out that there is a voice of longing inside each of us. We strive so mightily to be good, good partners, daughters, mothers, employees, and friends. We hope all this striving will make us feel alive. Instead, it leaves us feeling weary, stuck, overwhelmed, and underwhelmed. And in that, she caught my attention. We know that in Untamed, Glennon talks a lot, and you'll hear me talk a lot about her journey. But more than that, I want you to hear the words that I bring to you today and how it can relate to body image, our relationship with food, and our eating paradigm in this country and for maybe you as an individual. Glennon Doyle quotes, "Here is to the untamed. May we know them. May we raise them. May we love them, may we read them, may we elect them, and may we be them." Glennon Doyle, Untamed. One of the most beautiful excerpts that I read out of this book that left me breathless, because as many of you know, I talk a lot about emotions. And when I find something written about feelings and emotions, for me, I literally jump up and down because I feel like we don't talk about feelings enough. And not just talk about, you know, don't give me the four square, are you angry, sad, lonely, or mad? Give me the deep down and dirty on feelings. Give me the for real on feelings and what it means when we don't feel a feeling, because we're not taught that. And really, we've got to teach our kids and we've got to teach ourselves how to feel and how to ride those waves. And so when I read this paragraph, I literally dropped the book and I was like, hold the phone, you got to get the highlighter out. She says, "I did not know before that woman told me," because she was in a conversation with a woman that in the middle of AA, and this woman starts talking about feelings. And this woman says, "Feelings are for feeling, all of them, even the hard ones. The secret is that you're doing it right and that doing it right hurts sometimes." Glennon then says, "I did not know before that woman told me that all feelings were for feeling. I didn't know that I was supposed to feel everything. I thought I was supposed to feel happy. I thought that happy was for feeling and that pain was for fixing and numbing and deflecting and hiding and ignoring. I thought that when life got hard, it was because I'd gone wrong somewhere. I thought that pain was weakness and that I was supposed to suck it up. But the thing was that the more I sucked it up, the more food and the more booze I had to suck down." And when I heard that, I said, "Seek it, sister," because the truth is, we know, you know, if we don't show up for our feelings and if we think our feelings are supposed to feel a certain way, or we're supposed to hide or deflect or jump out of the ocean when the waves of our emotion are crashing, we can never truly become ourselves. So here's where we show up for ourselves in feeling our feelings. Instead of numbing, deflecting, hiding, or ignoring, we can face our feelings and ride the wave of them, allowing them to come in and out, just like the tide, knowing that they are movable and never stuck. We don't need food or relationship with food or hatred in our body or calories to dictate and determine how we feel, or maybe to distract us from how we feel. We know that feelings can shift if we allow them to do so, but every time we stuff, ignore, run, or hide, we build up a dam in our emotion that will eventually crash. When I was younger, I had many instances of feeling really intense feelings during a time of adolescence and growing up in the house that I lived in. We didn't talk a whole lot about feelings. My mom felt a lot, I'm sure she did, and I felt a whole lot, but we certainly didn't talk about it. And when I felt too much, and she had felt too much and taken out her too much on me, my too much ran. And I would run through my apartment complex, and God help me, if anybody lived in my apartment complex growing up, they probably saw somebody running like the wind a lot of times. That was the way that I worked with my feelings. I ran away from them. I ran out of them. I ran into exhaustion. I still run sometimes, but now it's different. Now it's for pleasure. Then it was running from pain. Some people run into things. Some people run into food. Some people run into alcohol or sex or drugs. I ran away. And in that, I saved myself a little bit because I at least got the trauma and energy out of my body. But I dammed my emotions up and I dammed up my ocean. And I had to figure that out through lots and lots of therapy. In order for us to really ride the waves of our emotions, there are four things we can actually do to practice in feeling our feelings. And the first one I love. The first one is just simply observing your emotion. Now, why would that help you? And what do I even mean? You see, so often we just get in the emotion. Sometimes we don't even know we're in the emotion. We're just swept away on the wave. We don't have a surfboard. We don't have a buoy. We don't have a life ring. We've got nothing. And in that time period is where I find that people jump into something else to salvage that moment. The truth is, if you can step out, step back, and move into an awareness, you can observe your emotion. So what am I really feeling if I were to name it? Or where do I feel it in my body? In the observance of emotion, you can actually find where and who you are. Second, experience that emotion fully. Now, I know that can be scary. I get it. I've worked with so many clients who the one thing they said is, you know, Wendy, listen, the one thing I never want to do is feel my feelings. So don't you dare make me do that. And the truth is, as they learned to work with me over time, they realized it wasn't so scary and they were able to dip their toe in the water. But I always remembered, and I always still remember, to tell my clients, listen, even good surfers know when the waves are unsafe. So if the emotion is too hard, too big, too strong, if you truly need to find a little bit of a distraction or a bit of grounding and breath before you feel it, then do so. Use body movement to release the energy. Use breath to bring grounding. Because if the emotion is too intense and the waves are too scary to ride, hold back just a little bit and then dip your toe in so you don't miss the experience. Number three, remember you are not your emotion. I can't tell you how many times I have worked with clients and my kids about recognizing that what you do is not who you are. What you feel is not who you are. If you're in an angry emotion, it doesn't mean you're angry. It doesn't mean you're angry all the time, right? You're not an angry person. You might just be angry. Don't put it as your identity. So remember, you're not your emotion. You are a person having an emotion. And then fourth, practice respecting and loving your emotions, all of them, which is what Glennon Doyle talks about in that paragraph, loving all of those emotions, not just one, right? Not just happy, but all of them, because we truly are made up on all different fronts of happiness and sadness and anger and anxiety. And accepting all of those things will enable you to not be afraid and to not run. On page 216, Glennon writes, "I became bulimic, and it's taken me a lifetime to recover. Self-hatred is harder to unlearn than it is to learn." I'm going to say that again because it's profound, and I think we underestimate this. Self-hatred is harder to unlearn than it is to learn. It's difficult for a woman to be healthy in a culture that is still very sick. It's the ultimate victory for a woman to find a way to love herself and other women while existing in a world insisting that she has no right to. So I'm working hard at health and wholeness every day. Glennon says, "I'm an advocate for women's equality because at my roots, I know the truth. I know what my body is for. It's not for men's use. It's not for selling things. It's for loving and learning and resting and for fighting for justice. I know that every body on this earth has equal, unsurpassable worth. And I believe that to be true as well." I can tell you so many interesting things in my career, time and time again, that has come up on body image and self-esteem and what we put out there in the world, in media, in our culture, in what we believe. And it's changed radically since I first started in this profession. You know, it used to be in the 50s, women were voluptuous and beautiful and made up and had lipstick and their hair done in a certain way, etc. We moved that into the late 60s, into Twiggy, where models became very skinny and people became anticipated that they were going to be very thin. There was no muscle tone, it was thinness. And as we moved into the 80s, women got confronted with everything on lots of levels. However, what we noticed from a body image perspective is then we weren't just expected to look thin, but now we had to be thin and muscular. In the 90s, we treaded on some buffness for women, right? And we also saw a turn for men in the 90s, unfortunately, where body image issues began creeping up radically because men were now meant to also look a certain way. On all fronts, I know that the passage that she wrote was true. Self-hatred and accepting failure is easier than self-love, unfortunately. We're not trained and taught how to love ourselves. It's not a class, it's not a course, and I think we need to start to make it be. Because unfortunately, I don't know many teenagers that feel great about themselves. Not yet and not ever. And it hasn't changed and it's not going to unless we make it. And the problem with not teaching our youngers and ourselves love is that we are deemed to be self-haters because that's what we see around us. We see constant images of people that look different. And those differences are made to make us think that we might not look so great. We're not taught to love our bodies and ourselves in this culture. We're not taught to eat food, which is interesting. Constantly in marketing, I'm looking for women of regular body size that are actually eating food on a billboard or in a magazine. We don't have food in our mouths. We might have it in front of us, but we don't have it and we're not eating it. It's one of the things I've been doing with Overcoming and we're working with our marketing is I'm trying to go out there and actually find pictures of women eating donuts, eating cake, eating steak, eating food, not salad, not an apple, but real food. We're taught not to eat. We're taught to contort our bodies to look a certain way, to be thin, but muscular. Or nowadays, I've heard the new thing. A lot of teenagers want to be thick, but thin. And so I wonder what is going on because we used to need to be thin and muscular and now it's thick. We're taught to look, act, and dress a certain way, but who really looks that way? And the 80s, I was totally obsessed. And it sounds funny, but it's true. I mean, besides Billy Idol, who was honestly my biggest first crush of my life, he was all over my walls. But from a female perspective, I also remember looking at Cindy Crawford and seeing how beautiful she was. She kind of came on the scene in the 80s and looked very different than many of the other models. And I remember reading a quote from Cindy Crawford saying, "Even I wish I look like Cindy Crawford," quote unquote, Cindy Crawford. And so recognizing even back then in the 80s, how much our models don't look like they are. Jennifer Aniston says, "You're damned if you're too thin and damned if you're too heavy. According to the press, I've been both. It's impossible to satisfy everyone, and I suggest we stop trying." Jennifer Aniston made that quote, and she's also been in recovery from bulimia and a longstanding eating disorder where she's battled her body for years. The woman is gorgeous, and it's taken her a lifetime to recognize it. And I love this quote. "You're not fat. You have fat. You also have fingernails, but you are not your fingernails either." I love those quotes because they help bring us to reality around our body image, around who we are. One last quote, an excerpt from Glennon Doyle's Untamed. "Selfless women make for an efficient society, but not a beautiful, true, or just one. When women lose themselves, the world loses its way." We do not need more selfless women. What we need right now is more women who have detoxed themselves so completely from the world's expectations that they are full of nothing but themselves. What we need are women who are full of themselves. A woman who is full of herself knows and trusts herself enough to stay and do what must be done. She lets the rest burn. Glennon Doyle, Untamed. For so long, I've heard from clients how much they do for others. They give and give to their family, friends, job, whatever it might be, postal man, whatever, you know, and they forget about themselves. Women and men now do this. Give, 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 give. We're taught to give and give and give and not to receive. And in that, we abandon the most important person on the ship of our life. When we don't drive our own ship, we have to find other things to drive it. Food. If we don't have the energy because we didn't sleep, because we're up all night doing things for other people, we have to find a food to take that place so we can get energy. Maybe too much caffeine, maybe chocolate. Maybe you crave because you're not sleeping enough. Could be drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, whatever that is to get that high so we can get through our life because we're overgiving. When we have to bring other things in to drive our ship, we know we are exhausted from giving too much to others and not to ourselves. It's imperative in this world of overgiving, we give and receive from ourselves, for we are only the true captain of our ship. And in order to not dive into our eating, our food, and body self-loathing, we need to give ourselves the love, encouragement, support, time, space, rest, peace, and a pause so we can actually find our footing in this world without our food. You see, we're all born untamed as babies. We're untamed in our hunger and fullness, untamed in our love for our bodies, ourselves, and others, and untamed in our eating. It is in this untamed that we find our true wild self, our she-wolf, our commander, our princess, or our prince. And it is in our untamed that we become truly, unequivocally outstanding.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.